Looking forward to another season of adventure through the national parks, another season of trivia and drag queens and games along the way?
Then be sure to join us, your hosts, Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan of Gaze at the National Parks, when our seventh season launches on September 23rd, 2024.
And if you can't wait till then, maybe revisit some of your favorite parks, trails, and trail mix episodes in the meantime with our episode finder.
Click the link in our show notes, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make navigating our library of episodes as simple as a few clicks.
Happy trails, and see you again September 23rd.
Hello and welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike, and welcome to our final summit for season 6 and our last episode for the season.
If you're new to the podcast, our summit episodes are how we wrap up our seasons here at Gaze at the National Parks. It's our way of looking at each of the parks from this season through four different lenses.
While in each of our main stage episodes, we get a chance to talk about hikes in a national park, we don't often get to encompass a larger view of the park space itself. Our summit episodes allow us to look at the parks from this season by examining the visitor experience, the history, the environment, and wildlife, and on a much grander scale, the hiking and experiences within the parks.
Today's summit is all about hiking trails.
Often listeners use this episode as a way to figure out which episodes they want to reference back to, as this is the TLDR episode of the season.
Or the too long, didn't read episode.
Thanks, I was going to get there.
No problem.
Or for the millennials and Gen Xers and beyond, this is like the Cliff Notes episode where we talk about every hiking trail in the season. It's comprehensive.
Speaking of comprehensive, taking all of the trails and putting them together is sort of like playing a game of Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, it's like who's got the science and history wedge? Who's got the pop culture wedge?
Who's got the arts and literature wedge?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And sports.
Sports, that's the one. Listen, when we play Trivial Pursuit, it's the one we're always both working on at the very end.
I'm also like, why are we talking about horse racing here, too?
I know. I appreciate it when there's the occasional orange question that is about Scrabble.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I'm like, okay, I have a chance now.
It's sports and games now. It's not just sports.
Yes, I know. So. But most of the time it's sports.
Yeah.
Let's dive into these trails one park at a time, and we'll go in order of the season. So, Mammoth Cave.
All right, so Mammoth Cave. Both of our episodes here, 103, The River Styx Tour, and 104, Great Onyx Cave, were both guided tours. So they were honestly things that, for the River Styx Tour, this was a ticketed tour. It was mostly through very wide chambers, as Mammoth Cave is mostly very big. There are some smaller passageways that you have to pass through. We did have to ascend some stairs at the end at the Karnak section of this tour for River Styx. And yeah, there was elevation gain and loss for sure within the cave.
Definitely. I had a great time doing these tours. Loved it.
Yeah, it was definitely something like I would love to, upon return, definitely do a different tour or do like the Wild Cave Tour is something that our friend Bruce Hatcher, who you'll hear more about if you listen to episode 104 on Great Onyx Cave or the Trail Mix episode Caving with Bruce Hatcher. Bruce talked about the Wild Cave Tour and he was like really excited. He's like, you guys got to come back and do that. And basically you're like in a jumpsuit, you've got headlamps, you're crawling, like you're shimmying, you're doing all the stuff that you're not doing on like a regular tour within Mammoth Cave, which is cool. But yeah, and unfortunately for us, we didn't get a chance to hike the above ground trails because crossing the river at the time was problematic due to the ferry being down at the Green River, and trying to circumnavigate the park was doable, but it would have taken us way out of the way. So we kind of concentrated on being in the cave.
That's right.
The other episode, 104, Great Onyx Cave, we were able to access on a special research trip with Bruce. So that was something that is not an everyday cave situation. At some point
not
in the distant past, that was more regularly operated as tours, but not really anymore.
Not really anymore. Okay, so I'm going to give a superlative here.
Okay.
I'm going to give excellence in cave creature engagement to the Great Onyx Cave Tour.
Great.
Mostly because of our cave cricket and cave spider engagement that happened there.
Great.
Okay, great. And in the River Styx tour, what superlative are you going
to
give that?
Most likely to have your jaw drop.
Yeah.
The sheer size of Mammoth Cave, especially in those initial chambers, is quite astounding. And I don't think you can really prepare yourself for it. It is, having been in those three caves of the big 63 national parks, Carlsbad, Mammoth Cave, and Wind Cave, this was definitely gigantic.
Yep.
That being said, Carlsbad, which will eventually make its way onto the show, a whole other ball game there.
And whole Wind other Cave, ball game, and stay tuned.
Teeny tiny. So
stay tuned.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Big Bend National Park. Okay. So we did quite a few trails here in Big
Bend.
We
did a lot in Big Bend.
Let's start with our first one, which was the Lost Mine Trail. We did this the first day we were in Big Bend, tiny little parking lot.
Yeah, this is a trail that you must get up early for, or you will not have parking.
Totally worth it.
Like 15 spots, maybe.
So this was also the trail that had the legend about Easter Sunday and being able to see
the lost mine.
The lost mine, mm-hmm. The way it's like highlighted, like
in by the light.
By the light. And we were doing this on Easter Sunday. It was a little wild.
Which is funny because Easter Sunday is not a fixed date. So it's like, it would be different if it was like the solstice, you know, or like a specific date. So I thought that was funny. But this was a great trail as a like starter trail in the park. The views are incredible, especially once you get up to that initial saddle. Mm-hmm. And then once you're basically at the terminal point at the top, just sweeping views of the Chisos and the valleys that surround them.
Such a great view of everything on that side of the park.
Yeah.
Highly recommend, one of our favorite ones in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Later that day, we did the Window Trail.
Yes.
Which leaves from the Chisos Basin Visitor Center, which is just down the road from the Lost Mine Trailhead.
Yep.
And yes, thoroughly exposed trail.
The whole time, basically.
The whole time. It was like hot, heat.
Yeah.
We were curious what the window was the whole time.
Yeah.
We did finally get there.
Yes.
It's at the very end.
Yes, and I climbed my way as far out as I could.
Yeah.
Much to your chagrin.
That's chagrin and sadness. Chagrin and sadness. Mm-hmm. You tuned in last episode. You'll get that reference.
Mm-hmm. This trail was less intense as far as elevation goes, although the way back up out of the valley and up to the level of the visitor center was grunty, especially in the heat, especially after having hiked a decent amount that day. But for the most part, you're pretty level or descending on the way out and then making your way back. The initial uphill isn't so bad. It's that last little grunt up to the visitor center. But yeah, completely exposed. Lots of water, lots of sunblock. I mean, this was an April trail for us and it was still very, very warm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very hot trail.
Yeah.
Then we have two episodes, 107 and 108, and that is about one loop that we did to include the South Rim Trail. So it's literally called the South Rim Trail Part 1 and the South Rim Trail Part 2. This involved connecting quite a few trails in order to make a loop that started and ended at the Chisos Basin Visitor Center. We did this gigantic loop in order to do the South Rim Trail, which is just one portion of trail way up high and on the other side of the Chisos Mountains.
Yeah.
But we started on the Laguna Meadows Trail. That brought us up to some connecting trails, which eventually led us to the South Rim Trail. And then eventually, that's basically all of part one. Then leaving that section, we ended up on the
Boot Canyon Trail.
And then we came down
the Dreaded Pinnacles.
The Dreaded Pinnacles Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so y'all, we're just going to say it. A lot of people go up and down pinnacles.
I don't know why.
I don't know why. Don't do that to yourself. Yeah. What a horrible, horrible thing, choice to make for oneself.
Yeah.
It is exposed the whole time. It's so steep. Coming down it was not great.
Well, I wouldn't say it's exposed because we were in trees a lot of the time there. It's ankle twisty. The whole trail is like just laden with rocks and small stones. It's nice that it's downhill, but honestly, on your feet, it feels like hell.
Oh my God, it was the worst.
Once you're at the base, that's when it ends up being exposed for the rest of the way. But there was some relief from the sun there.
Every single park ranger would recommend going up the Laguna Meadows Trail, at least the ones that we talked to.
Yeah.
Do not go up.
And most people that we saw too. So this was like on a par with like an epic, It ended up being like a 13 or 14 mile day. And it was truly like an epic trail situation. It was something that you wouldn't really want to do much else after or before. It's like a do it in one day or camp, because that is an option. There are plenty of campsites up before you reach the South Rim area. You could camp and then do the trail in pieces. This would also be a way to do Emery Peak, which is the tallest point in the park.
In the Chisas, yeah.
And it's something we thought about, but then got there. This Emery Peak's turnoff is right before descending the pinnacles, and we were just so tired that we opted to just downhill it, which I think we would have actually died if we had gone up and down and then down the pinnacles.
I think so too.
It's a great trail. One of our favorites.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
My God. We'll do it again.
Yep.
We'll do it again, and we'll go down pinnacles again and complain about it, but we'll do this trail again.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We did a whole bunch of small trails.
Right.
Here in Big Bend National Park, including we did the, like, Chihuahua Desert.
Nature Loop. Which is in Dugout Wells, the Dugout Wells section of the park. We also did Boquillos Canyon.
That's right.
Which is the canyon that is further to the east in the park.
We did the Fossil Discovery exhibit, which is an outdoor experience.
Yep. And that was kind of it. We had planned to try to do some other smaller trails within the park. Oh, we also did the...
Where we saw the Owdad.
Upper Burrow, I believe
Mesa.
It was. There was the Burrow Pour Over?
Yeah, the Burrow Pour Over.
Right. Yeah. But that was at the end of our day with Santa Elena Canyon.
That's true.
So different episodes. Yeah. So yes, 109, you can hear more about our small trails experiences. There are a bunch that you can cobble together. You could add on. Most of the small trails we actually didn't do on the same day, but these were things we added or tacked on to other days. So absolutely doable, especially considering the park is so big. You would really want to kind of think strategically about when you're going to hike something, because you may not go back to that section of the park again.
But note, we did not add anything after the South Rim day.
No,
we only did that. Then
actually,
episode,
we did go to Fossil Discovery.
We went to Fossil Discovery. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah.
And wanted to shoot collapse.
Yeah.
And then episode 110 is Santa Elena Canyon, which is in a totally other section of the park.
It's the westernmost
totally
canyon.
Totally worth it. Great birds over there. Had to cross a tributary of the Rio Grande, like up to our
thighs
in water. And had a great time.
Yeah. It was a trail that we almost didn't do because we were a little uncertain about the crossing. But after watching a few other folks come back from it, it definitely was one that was so cool and so well worth it, specifically because the canyon is very quiet. For the most part, if you get there early, shaded. You also have the Ross Maxwell Scenic Drive to look forward to on the way out, which is a really wonderful way to see the landscape of the park. And there are some other trails over here, which is also when we did the Burro Mesa Pour Over trail, which was a tiny trail, which didn't involve more than a water bottle and a camera. So everything else within the park, we had our packs on for.
Totally.
Except for the Fossil Discovery, too. That was one we didn't need.
So I think I know your answer to what is your favorite hike that we did here
it's
in
South
Big Bend.
It's
South Rim.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, all of the hikes are wonderful. This is a park where it's like, I wish we had more time because there were some other things we wanted to do. And also, the one thing that I would recommend is go for the four-wheel drive if you're renting a car.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't go to Grapevine Hills to do Balanced Rock. We wanted to go to the Hot Springs. That was something that we could have maybe have done, but it was just a little dodgy, especially in a rental car. So opt for the four-wheel drive
here,
everybody.
The four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give one superlative here to another hike other than South Rim. And I'm going to give most diverse engagement with elements to Santa Elena Canyon, because it involved crossing a tributary, going up canyon walls and down canyon walls. There's also a ton of reeds. There's also a river here. There's a lot of forest and trees. There's a lot happening here.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm giving that.
Great.
What about you?
I think for Lost Mine Trail, I'm going to give the most likely to say, welcome to Jurassic Park
when you reach
the saddle, because it really does feel, even though that is the Nepali coast on Kauai, the fly-in, it definitely felt like you were seeing landscape that could have very much so been Jurassic Park here.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's head to Wind Cave National Park. That was where we headed next in the season with episodes 111 the Fairgrounds Tour, and 112, the Prairie Trails.
So, much like Mammoth Cave, these trails, well, first of all, the Fairgrounds Tour is a tour. If you're going to any sort of cavern, it's definitely worth it to book yourself a tour. And it's not expensive to do so.
No, and most of the time, that's the only way to engage.
It's true.
Is through a booked tour.
Right. So, the Fairgrounds Tour was, I would say, actually way more elevation gained and lost than anything we did in Mammoth Cave.
I think so. Yeah.
It just was a lot of downhill and then uphill again, either on sloped paved walkways or staircases. Passageways were much tighter here.
But the gypsum boxwork is out and about and vibrant and everywhere.
It's the most boxwork in a cave in the world. So it is definitely something to see for sure. It is a very different cave from Mammoth and Carlsbad. It's tiny. That is the best way that I can describe Wind Cave. It's teeny tiny.
Teeny tiny.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And the prairie trails up top were through grassland.
Right.
The trails were, I mean, they were well marked as far as like where they were on the ground, but it was still like walking through tall grass.
Sure. With a worn path. So we did the Prairie Discovery Trail, I believe is what the one behind the visitor center is called.
Yep.
And then the Rankin Ridge Trail.
That's right.
Rankin Ridge was more elevation to gain for sure. And you were deeper in the park. You were almost at the end of the park, closer to Custer State Park. So you got really incredible views of the Black Hills. That is the one thing that I was really, really awed by. The Prairie Discovery Trail was lovely, but it was a lot of grassland, and you were seeing the area around the visitor center. There's also like the natural cave tour, which is sort of the natural entrance tour, which we sort of did because you walk right by it. It's a paved path behind the visitor center, so you can see the original natural entrance, which factors into the Lakota creation story.
That's right.
So yeah, I would say like we didn't get a chance to do really big trails here. The one thing that I would say, just like Big Bend, is that because it's a prairie, there is very to little shade, or very little to no shade.
Leads me to the superlative that I would like to give here at Wind Cave National Park, which is the exposure award goes to the prairie trails at Wind Cave National Park.
Absolutely.
What about for you?
I think it's the Make It Box Work Award.
There it is.
For the Fairgrounds Tour, for sure. Because that box work was doing the work of,
was great. It was great.
Uh-huh. Gypsumonia.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay, have you ever been traveling abroad and then received a huge roaming bill for your cell phone afterwards, or lost phone service or connectivity while traveling, or found yourself desperately searching for free Wi-Fi, or have you ever wasted your time at the airport trying to find a SIM vendor? Well, then look no further than Arelo. Arelo is the world's first eSIM store that solves the pain of high roaming bills by giving you access to eSIMs, or digital SIM cards. It's trusted by 10 million travelers worldwide, founded in 2019 with a mission to provide global data connectivity to all travelers. And Arelo is the first and leading eSIM store on the market. And what's great is that there's no waste. It's 100% digital. Forget about physical SIM cards or putting cards in your phone. Arelo is a digital solution, so it eliminates the need for packaging, mailing materials, or physical distribution. It is created to save you time and money. No more roaming fees, no more lines at the airport to purchase a local SIM card, no more hassle looking for a strong Wi-Fi connection at the airport. Also, using eSIM, you get to keep your home phone number. Connect to local networks wherever you travel, because Arelo has you covered in more than 200 countries and regions. Stay connected from the moment you land. Arelo has local, regional, and global eSIMs. And it's super easy to use. There's an app available that you can download, and you can easily monitor and track your data usage. I know I'm always worried about roaming charges when I travel abroad, but now I don't have to. And neither do you, because you can install Airalo today, and you can use our code GAZE to get $3 off your first eSIM. And that's code GAZE, G-A-Z-E, to get $3 off your first eSIM with Airalo. Someone who is constantly curious about the birds in my neighborhood, from those on the branches to those in the air, I often have trouble identifying what I'm hearing or what I'm seeing because they may be moving too fast for me to get a good view of. FeatherSnap takes the often tricky art of bird identification and makes it so much simpler through its top-of-the-line camera and incredible AI programming. After setting up my FeatherSnap bird feeder in my yard, I couldn't believe the birds I was seeing and capturing in photos and videos. If anything, the excitement of having a bird appear at the feeder and then be captured by the camera only stoked my excitement for what other birds might appear and what birds I should be on the lookout for while I was out and about. If you're looking to up your bird watching game or want to get your friends and family engaged in and excited about the birds in your area, then FeatherSnap is for you. From its solar-powered, top-of-the-line camera, in its unique dual bin feeder, to its incredible mobile app which collects photos and videos at the feeder, FeatherSnap is a complete game changer. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Okay, let's now head to our next park of the season, which was Gateway Arch National Park.
So
right off the bat, no trails here. There are
it's
no trails
like
here.
You can walk the grounds. You can experience the park. This is a park that one goes to experience through visuals,
yes.
Whether it's seeing the arch, whether
seeing
it is
museum.
Going to the museum, which
going
absolutely
inside the arch.
The museum is a thing to do.
100%.
Like, take the time, because like if that's why you're going to the arch just to see it, like there is a wealth of well-documented history that you can discover if you are unfamiliar with the arch in the city of St. Louis at the museum. That
yep.
is like the one
yes.
bonus point I put in its ledger.
Yeah, that's right.
And yes, going up the arch, it is not for everyone. It is an experience that one must feel very secure with leaving the ground in a very tight compartment. So claustrophobia, agoraphobia, not for you if
that's
you,
right.
you want to do that.
And mm-hmm. also, it is possible to take a riverboat here on the Mississippi River.
It's
right on the river. We did that.
That was kind of lazy stuff, but you know.
It was.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was the way, basically it's like, what are all the different ways to take in this arch?
Mm-hmm.
I can stand here like on the grounds and look up at it and see it from different angles. I can go inside it. I can go to the museum and learn about all the history that led to this arch being made. I can get on the river and get on a boat and see it from there. So yeah, I am going to give the excellence in historical curation award to the museum here at Great Way Arch National Park.
And I will give the most likely to perplex people as to why it is a National Park award.
There it is.
So, I mean, there's nothing, I'm not taking away anything from the fact that it is a monument by any means.
Or a memorial.
But it is definitely, you know, and we may be creating a divide here. It is what it is. It's definitely, when you think about a national park, it definitely doesn't fit the mold.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Now on to the second smallest national park in the park system, Hot Springs National Park.
So in Hot Springs, we did 2 days of hiking and 1 day of luxuriating, which was our word from that episode, which is 116, which is the Buckstaff Bathhouse. It's the only operational bathhouse on Bathhouse Row. Most of the other bathhouses have been converted as there was decline in the 1960s and less people were utilizing Hot Springs as a therapeutic center. So
Hot Springs is, in fact, preserved as a national park because of the hot springs inside.
Yes.
So the geothermal features is why it became a national park.
And it was even land set aside way before Yellowstone was a national park, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
So technically, it's, I think people like to argue that it is the oldest national park, but I think other people would say absolutely not, no way.
There are many trails here. Hot Springs is literally like in a little town. We walked through the little town of Hot Springs. Bathhouse Row is here in this town. And then right off of the main road are the trailheads or trails.
Yeah.
So there are some on the east side, which is called Hot Springs Mountain. And then there are some on the west side, which is just called the west side.
The trails here are not anything that is incredibly difficult. It's mostly woodland trails. We didn't get a chance to do the larger trail of the park, which circumnavigates it, which we talked about in our visitorship episode. But that's like a 13 to 17 mile trail.
Yeah, depending on what you do.
So it would have taken the day, plus mountain lions that we were told we should probably have a gun with us for, because, you know, the both of us are always coming strapped here at Gaze at the National Parks.
We are kidding.
Strapped with other things, that's for sure.
Yeah. With sadness.
Yeah.
And
chagrin.
Yep.
So, yeah, and again, this is kind of a park to experience. And it is definitely like
small trails on.
Yeah. It's definitely like go to the bathhouse, like, and do the spa package, because that's part of the reason that the park is there. I mean, it is, you know, it's a part of the history too. So, I'm going to give the most luxurious experience award to the Buckstaff Bathhouse.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. I'm going to give the award for easiest map and trailblazes to follow to Hot Springs National Park, because the color of the blazes on the trees match the color of the trails on the trail map that you can download or pick up.
Yep.
And it's very easy to follow along.
Yeah, for sure. And last but not least, a park that we have been to many times for now, we've got Shenandoah National Park, which is rounding out season 6 for us. So
in Shenandoah National Park, we did episode 118 was Mary's Rock. Episode 119 was Big Rock Falls. Episode 120 is Hawksbill Mountain. And episode 121 is Dark Hollow Falls. Mary's Rock we did just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, in
when
late
we're recording
April.
This now. Mm-hmm. The other three we did in the spring of 2021.
Yeah. The thing I love about Shenandoah is that the trails have challenges. There's usually incredible views, whether it's a waterfall or whether it is a vista. And you got to do some work. Like, they're not trails that you can just phone in. You really have to, like, you have to be prepared, I think, for these trails, which is really why I appreciate them. Mary's Rock, what a great view of the valleys.
And oh, yeah.
We had it was a crummy day, but when we got to the peak, when we got to the terminal point, it was dry. There was no more rain, and we had some really cool cloud experiences up there on the top of Mary's Rock. The rest of our hikes, if we talk about elevation, we can also talk about Hawksbill Mountain, because that's a hike where you are hiking up to kind of a viewpoint, which is the peak of Hawksbill Mountain, which is the tallest part of the range. And again, Great view, great vista, views, like very windy the day we were there.
There's also what the way that Shenandoah is kind of designed, Skyline Drive kind of comes through toward the top of the mountain range. And then you're either hiking up to peaks or you're hiking down into valleys from the Skyline Drive area. Right. And you can also access some of those hikes from roads that are down in the valley.
Yep.
Which is what we did with Big Rock Falls and also Dark Hollow Falls. Those were descending hikes.
Right.
To see waterfalls that were down lower than Skyline Drive.
Right. We didn't get down to the valley level per se, but definitely along the ridges.
Toward valley toward. So yes, I am giving the Best Supporting Actress Award to Gloves here in Shenandoah National Park, because I will never go to Shenandoah National Park without bringing gloves. Yeah. And I used gloves on all four of these hikes.
Yeah.
And I was very grateful that I did.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give the Mossy Wonderland Award to Big Rock Falls, because I think outside of the Skudik Peninsula and Acadia National Park, I have never seen moss of this level or quality.
It was spectacular moss. And now, let's end this summit and our final episode of season 6 with a queen and a game.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Carrie LeBag.
Carrie LeBag.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Carrie LeBag?
She's a jet setter. I think she is, I think it's like flight attendant turned to wherever Carrie is headed. I'm in my flight attendant outfit to start. And then, like, I'm in Paris, and so I have a striped long sleeve shirt and a beret on, and a little, like, neckerchief.
Is that what you have to wear upon visiting Paris?
Sure. I think it's stereotypical.
It's required. It's sort of like if you go to Times Square, you have to wear an I Heart New York shirt or a hat that says that.
Sure.
Right.
I think so.
Okay.
I think she responds to where she's headed. It's a change
in an incredibly souvenir way.
Oh, absolutely. In an incredibly touristy way.
Okay. So it's touristy. Carrie LeBag is the touristy person through.
So if she's doing an act in New York, she's going to arrive in her
flight attendant outfit. Yeah. Like with like spires, like the Statue of Liberty thing that she's going to wear around her head.
She's Chapel Roan.
That's right. Yeah. And she's going to wear some glasses that say like 2011. But there's still a hole cut out of the one like it was when, like, 2004.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
When they should have stopped doing those after 2009, but they continued on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the 10 emboldened them.
I guess so. Yeah. And then it was like, we're just not going to care anymore. Glasses, I mean, right through the 11.
This is the world at this point.
Apparently.
Like, whatever.
Whatever.
Exactly. But yeah, I think she's a travel queen. And she shows it through her touristy outfits, watches.
I feel like she lip syncs to Go Your Own Way.
Sure. But I also think she finds city-specific songs. Like, when she's in Memphis, she sings Walking in Memphis.
Jesus. Okay, like the most surface-level choices.
She's in San Francisco. That's her shtick. San Francisco State of Mind, you know.
That's not a song.
That is a song.
No, there's New York State of Mind. And then there's I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
There it is,
It's San Francisco State of Mind is what it is. And then when she's in Chicago, it's Chicago State of Mind.
Yep. She sings, they both reached for the gun.
That's right. From the musical Chicago.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, great. And what is her merch?
Her merch is little like travel. It's travel bags that have like, oh, there's a little toothpaste in here. Oh, there's a little toothbrush.
Oh, I see.
Like, it's like the travel accessory.
A little travel accessory thing. Got it.
Yep, a little clutch with that in it. For the jet setter.
For the jet setter.
Uh-huh.
God, I love this. Mm-hmm. She has to be, it has to be camp. She's got to be
aware
of herself.
Oh,
she's
absolutely.
Like making fun of tourism.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage,
Carrie LeBag.
All right, Mike, we're going to end this summit and the last episode of season 6. Girl, can you believe it? We've been doing this for 6 seasons.
I know. 600 seasons.
600 seasons is what it feels like sometimes.
I was out in the town square just ringing my bell talking about national parks before they existed. That's right.
So this category, I was inspired by your connections category and the fact that we play connections on New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
This is called difficult connections.
Great.
So you know the purple category of connections is sometimes so polarizing and divisive.
Yeah.
So I was seeking to actually do that here.
Great.
So you will have to. So some of these are one, two, sometimes three connections away from the thing. And I'm giving you four. You just have to name the park that connects all four and then tell me how those things are connected.
Okay, great. So the game that I wrote earlier.
I literally said that. Yeah. I was inspired by the game you wrote earlier. Yeah. I made a difficult version of it. Do we need to go back and listen to the last 2 minutes
no,
of what
I've
said?
No, I got you.
Okay, great. Thank you. I referenced you the entire time. So I don't want you to come for me like I didn't.
Okay.
Because
great.
I did.
I'll expect my royalty check.
Great.
Great.
You and the New York Times.
Yeah.
I'll give it to both of you. Okay. For 100, stone, woolly, sail, Achilles.
Well, my inclination is to say mammoth cave because of woolly, but
that would be correct.
Okay. But I don't know how. So what am I trying to connect now?
How
because
are
like
these
stone
other
and stone and there's not like stone mammoth or
no, that's right. So they're a little further apart. So this is why it's called difficult connections. So for instance, Achilles was dipped into the river Styx.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Except for his heel, the river Styx is
a tor.
Tor in Mammoth Cave.
Yeah. Okay.
Stone. Like sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you.
Okay. So is the connector Styx then? The other connector?
It's all possible.
Okay.
And then sail is like the song Come Sail Away by the band Styx, spelled the same way as the River Styx tour in Mammoth Cave National Park.
Okay.
Mammoth Cave is the only thing that connects all of them, but some of them are like two or three connections away.
Right. But the park was a little easier to get because obviously woolly, but then all the other clues related to something within the park, the same thing, correct? Is that how the rest of them are going to operate?
Maybe.
Okay.
That's right.
Cool.
Great.
Okay. Great.
The next one. Yours. Sill. Claws. Found.
Okay. Well, this is Big Bend.
That's
because
right.
Because it's the window sill.
Window,
the window
sill.
Trail.
Okay. Yeah.
Yours and mine. So yeah. The Lost Mine Trail. What are the other two?
Claws and found. Claws is spelled without an E at the end.
So Santa Elena Canyon
right.
would be the claws.
Like Santa Claus.
And then, what was the other one?
Found.
Found. So the Lost Mine Trail also comes back around.
Lost and found. Okay. Correct.
Great.
For 300, balance, home, country, streep.
My inclination is to say Gateway Arch.
Incorrect.
Mm.
The logic is inconsistent, is what I'm saying in this game.
Yes, I see that.
That's why it's called difficult connections.
My next instinct is to say hot springs.
Incorrect. We were going for Wind Cave National Park.
Okay.
Let's talk about why. Balance. There is a, we did a tour called the Fair Grounds Tour. Fair Balance.
Okay.
Above Wind Cave is a prairie. Prairie features a prairie home companion. So that's where we get the word home. That film also stars Meryl Streep, which is
girl,
where we get
you wrote
Streep.
A category of Jeopardy. Like I write categories of Jeopardy sometimes.
And then
I just want you to know
Prairie
that
Dog Town.
For when you drag me about it all the time.
Prairie Dog Town, like the magazine Town and Country, which is where we get the word country from.
Okay, great.
Great.
Yeah, this is a...
Yep.
This is a hat wearing a hat wearing a hat is
wearing
what you wrote.
A difficult connection.
Wearing a mini skirt because you just wanted to be gay about it.
That's right. But the mini skirt is used as a wig. Okay. For 400, bend, strength, fence, ward. Also, none of these would fly as actual connections in the New York Times game.
No.
Because the logic for all of them is...
Fakakta.
Yep. Bend, strength, fence, ward.
Is this Gateway Arch?
Correct.
Okay.
Can you get why?
Bend, strength.
Fence, ward.
Well, I'm assuming the bend is the bend of the arch.
That is right.
Okay. The strength is also the strength of the arch.
No, but okay. Even though arches are strong. Not what I was going for.
Okay. The strength of the Mississippi River.
That's right, because the other name for the Mississippi River is the Mighty Mississippi, okay. Which is where we get strength.
Okay.
Great. Fence.
Fence. What is defense?
Usually, like, no.
The defense of Dred Scott, the Dred Scott case. I mean, this is what I'm trying to do here.
You're doing great. Fence usually contains a gate.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Like Gateway Arch. Okay, great. And then the last
one. I will never let you live this category town ever.
The last one is ward. W-A-R-D.
Like little orphan Annie and how she was the ward of Oliver Warbucks.
I got that from the word wayward.
Okay.
Again, like gateway. W-A-Y, wayward. I'm so glad you're finding this so hard. Okay, great.
Because it is. This is like Olympic level difficult.
Great. Here we go. For 500. Fawn, shower, autumn, top.
What is Hot Springs National Park?
That is correct. Uh-huh. Can you tell me why? Let's start with fawn.
Because fawns are types, is a deer. It's a lady deer. And
It's a baby deer.
And because of the buckstaff.
That is correct. Buck is the type of deer. And the buckstaff bathroom. Great. Shower.
Shower, because I'm going to need one after this game because I'm sweating so much. I think it's because of the showers in the buckstaff or the bathhouses.
I guess we could say that. I was thinking also like the rain that falls that then becomes hot spring water later.
Sure.
Okay, great. Autumn.
It's that sad movie, Autumn in New York, with Richard Gere and Winona Ryder.
Nope.
Autumn, because that's when we were there.
Nope. Autumn is a season, like spring is the season, and spring is in the title, Hot Springs National Park.
Got it.
Okay, great.
He's gonna murder
nothing,
you later.
Nothing bothers Mike more than inconsistent logic, and this is an entire game of inconsistent logic.
I mean, come for Dusty in the comments, everybody, because this is wild.
The last one is top.
Top of the morning to you. Like, nope. I really got nothing.
What we were going for is we have an entire episode on the West Side trails. Side is not the top or the bottom. It's to the side.
I just like...
like the side of a box.
I get it. I do. Sure. I'm just like, wow. You really went wide here.
Mm-hmm. And finally, for 600, full... Talon, Tiny, Judy.
Okay, what is Shenandoah National Park?
That's right.
The Talon for Hawksbill Mountain.
That's right. Okay, so Talon is another part of a hawk.
Yeah, Tiny and Judy.
And full.
What is Garland? Because Merritt Garland once visited Shenandoah. I don't really.
I'm sorry, you went from Judy Garland to Merritt Garland. I like that. No, Judy is a reference to Mary's Rock because Mary is often a term, a female name used by queer men who refer to each other as a Mary. Judy is a female name that's often used by queer men to refer to their best friend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tiny. As opposed to large, the large headache I have right now.
Or tiny as opposed to big, like Big Rock Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, full.
Mm-hmm. Because you can get gas at the Bird Visitor Center, so I can be full. My car can be full of gas.
Just like you're full of gas.
Yep.
Great. No, we were going for full as opposed to hollow, like Dark Hollow Falls.
Got it.
And that was difficult connection.
Sure was.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariello Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.